This is the ESPN Aussie Hoops Hour. Kane Pittman and Olga Norlich back already. We thought maybe we'd take a little bit of a breather after the NBL season, but we've got news to break. The Boomers have dropped their 22-man initial squad for Paris. Obviously, they're going to cut that down to 12, but there's some interesting names among some very familiar names that we've seen in the green and gold over the last few years. So we're going to break it all down for you. Don't forget, go to ESPN.com.au and you can see Olga Norlich's full story there with some background on perhaps what Brian Gorgeous is potentially looking for stylistically with this Boomers team as they head to Paris. But all the info is there, as it always is, ESPN.com.au. Olga Norlich at 7:20 a.m. on a Thursday morning is looking bright, bushy-tailed. He's smiling right now. It's great to see you, my friend, and thank you for getting up so early.
You're so very welcome.
Yes.
The nature of our job is sometimes stories have to be posted at certain times.
That's it.
This was one of those ones where you just happened to get me at the right time. I'm doing this mainly for me, not for you. This Boomer squad these are always fun times because we always have an idea of like the 12 we're probably taking. But there's always a flyer or two. There's always one or two surprises. We've seen it every single cycle. And when you go through this list, there's some guys in there that you can make a legitimate case for. Even if they're not the most talented, they might be the best fit. But yeah, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on who you think should come. And I'm also interested to hear, and I'm interested in sort of like the general Australian public's opinion on what Gorge is describing as Aussie ball.
Uh-huh.
It's not Euro style. It's not NBA style. It's sort of maybe like a mesh of them, maybe leaning more toward NBA up-tempo stuff. I'm interested to hear what people think about the philosophy behind going that direction. And especially I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, between Baz Ball, North Ball, Aussie Ball, I think firstly we need to get a little bit more creative with these names that we're describing it. But we understand the general rule of what Gorge is trying to do. I think it does make a lot of sense, even if, you know, at times during the World Cup we sat from afar and had a look at it, and certainly me, others were critical, but he's got a vision for what this team can look like. He believes that it's going to put this team in the best position to compete with some of the best nations in the world. So we'll go through that. You're right. I am going to make a case for a couple of guys that are on the outside of the squad. I assume everyone listening to this podcast has a pretty good picture of who was there at the World Cup, but we'll just refresh your memory. So the 12 guys from the World Cup, obviously in this 22-man squad. So that's Paddy Mills, Josh Giddey, Nick Kaye, Joe Ingles, Josh Green, Dante Exum, Xavier Cooks, Duop Reid, Matisse Thybulle, Jack White, Dyson Daniels, and CG43, Chris Goldin. I think the other two guys that make sense that are in almost that 14-man extended squad of guys that we've seen play before, Jock Landale obviously out injured, and then Matthew Dellavedova is the other guy that I'm putting in there. After that, I'll let you go from here, whether you want to go through the other names that are in the squad or just in particular some names that stand out to you, because there is some really exciting, fresh faces that we think are going to be a big part of the future, mixed in with some local NBL stars.
So the fresh faces are interesting, and we'll touch on them more a bit later, but Johnny Furphy, who's coming off really impressive freshman year at Kansas, and Rocco Zakarski, who is the next star in the NBL for the Brisbane Bullets, coming off an MVP of the Albert Schweitzer tournament. He is one of Australia's up-and-coming rising stars, 7'3", 7'4". These are two guys who will be probable mainstays of the Boomers going forward. And this was Gorge's opportunity to include them in the program, get them around it. That makes a lot of sense to include them in a squad like this. But we will touch on them a bit later because I don't think these are just like token young guy additions to this squad. And then there are also the NBL guys. And so you look at that World Cup squad, you're adding Jack McVay, who's coming off a championship series MVP with the Jack Jumpers, who won a title. Will Magnang was on that championship winning team. And then you've got Dejan Vasiljevic, Sam Froling, Keanu Pinder, Will McDowell-White. So all these guys also in the squad. Pinder, McDowell-White, Froling, they were part of the extended squad for the World Cup. So they've been through this process before. The new additions are McVay, Magne, and Vasiljevic. And they're three who I think have a legitimate chance to be considered for the final team purely because of the fit. Really because of what the team needs and the reviews and assessments that Gorge and that coaching staff did after the World Cup, where they came 10th and didn't get out the second round. they saw some holes and some gaps, and they feel like these are three guys who could potentially come in and sort of plug those to an extent.
Yeah, let's start with Johnny Furphy then, just because that is a name that's going to stand out. As you mentioned, someone that had a nice season at Kansas, and we'll wait and see what the next few months looks like for him. Again, I'm with you that, you know, I don't expect that he's going to be on a plane to Paris at all. But the reason why I think it does make sense for him to be there, certainly offensively, he's got a lot of work to do in terms of developing his game. And when he was playing for Kansas, he was mostly a catch-and-shoot guy from three, but he was a fearsome player in transition. And he's a super athlete, and he gets up and down. His defense was improving throughout the year, and he had some of his better games towards the back end. It was impressive in the first round in the tournament as well when McCullough, Kansas' best player, wasn't there. So I spent a lot of time watching Furphy this year, particularly as he continued to move into draft calculation. But in terms of pure fit and the stylistic player that he is, athlete, up and down the floor, has two-way potential moving forward. It makes sense that he would be the guy there. And we've seen this before. Guys have come into the squad, and you know, we'll see whether he goes to the draft or goes back to school. But we've seen it with Josh Giddey in the past. We've seen it with Dyson Daniels. Those guys that are going through that draft period, it's nice to get them into the squad and get them around the team if you figure they're going to be a big part of the future.
Yeah, and I spoke with Gorge last night ahead of this announcement, and there was a quote that he gave, which I thought was interesting. He said, on Furphy, I just think it's really important that he's brought into the Boomers program and culture. Yep. The worst case is he gets to see the Boomers and be around this group. But also, we need a shooter, and he does that. So we have to see if these, when we talk about Furphy and Zukarski, we have to see if they even go to camp. Gorge said that this 22-man squad, he maybe wants to cut down to 17 or 18 going to the camp in Melbourne at the end of June or early July. So we have to see if they go to camp in the first place. But he's not picking these guys as token young guys to include in the squad and make sure they're around the program and they can rub shoulders with the NBA guys and the Boomers veterans. This is very much a... he can also shoot it. He fills a need that we have to fill on this Boomers team. Could he maybe work his way in? Now, I don't think he will. I think it's one cycle too early for someone like Furphy. He has just broken out, right? So it's very tough to include someone like him.
I don't think he's that level shooter either, to be fair. Not yet.
Like 35-36% on what, four-ish attempts a game at Kansas. Yep. There's potential as a shooter, and then you add that to the frame and the size and the athleticism, and as a total package, he's one of those guys who you put with Rocco and you put with Alex Tui and some of these guys as 2027 World Cup guys. But the idea of Gorge getting a close look at him, I think is super valuable, not just for Furphy, but for the program.
So I think we assume with this squad that Jock Landale is going to be a guy that is an automatic inclusion. Now, that's going to be challenging. I think we know that Jack White was probably the guy that was on the bubble there. And we had discussions about that heading into the World Cup. So if Jock Landale comes in, you assume there's at minimum going to be one change here. But a guy that just had a monstrous NBL campaign, was able to get healthy, was a big part in a title-winning team. Can you make any case for Will Magnay? Because I do think if you were looking at the big men, and I know you mentioned Rocco, he's going to get a great taste here at the camp, still so damn young that you think his future well and truly ahead of him. But Will Magnay, can you make any case for him to come into this squad with DeWalt Barith? You're probably looking at a third traditional center if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, a third center makes sense, especially with what the Boomers sort of faced in the World Cup. There's an argument that DeWalt Barith has taken another step forward, that do you need a third version of that? My thing is, I just don't know who you replace out of that squad. Again, let's say, just for the sake of this argument, that Landale's coming in for Jack White. I don't know who you can take out of that squad and throw in there, right? Because you look at some of the guys who either didn't play or got limited minutes or maybe on the fringe going in. So what, Chris Goldie or a Xavier Cooks or a Nick Kay, or I don't see Magnay really getting in over any of those guys. Obviously they're different positions. I don't know where the spot is for that third center. I know everyone's crying out for it, but I don't know if that thing exists. unless someone like Nick Kay isn't brought. They're not going to bring Dyson Daniels. They're not going to bring, I think Xavier Cooks just signed with the Sydney Kings. He's going to the Olympics. So I can't make a case for someone like that. I don't know where the spot is.
I'm with you. I'm not making a case for a third center. I don't think you need it. They did have three centers, obviously, for the Tokyo Olympics, and with Reith and Landau and Aaron Baines. I don't think that you need three, though, because we have seen in the past, no matter who it is, they can mix and match. You know they're going to go small. Xavier Cooks can play some time at the five position. If Nick Kay's there, he can do it as well. And, you know, even Jack White in a pinch if he's there. So I think they've got enough versatility there. And, again, basing on the way that Gorgian is speaking about the style that he wants to play, I don't think that's conducive to bringing a third center anyway. I think you would carry a Will Magne to your final cut, to your final 14 players. Ensure everyone's healthy. That's your insurance. And once you go into the tournament, that's it. You go, okay, we've got two fives, and we'll figure it out down the line. I think Reith and Landale are both capable of playing big minutes. We've seen it before. And I do think if you're going to make another change, whether it is someone like a Nick Kay or a Jack White that misses out, I want to make a case for Matthew Dellavedova. Now, I don't think that going back to the World Cup, what he did miss out, I didn't think that we would probably have this conversation no matter what Dally said about how determined he was still to get to Paris. We were in press conferences together at Melbourne United, and he was focused that he still thought that he could get to this Paris squad. We've heard the stories that he wasn't going to make that team. He wanted to fight his way onto the squad. But here's the case that I will make. We know that it's going to be the last Olympics for a bunch of these guys. I've had conversations with Gorge. You've had conversations with Gorge about the leadership of this group. And at some point in time, there's going to be a full-scale changing of the guard. But I asked Gorge specifically whether he thought that perhaps there wasn't that level of vocal leadership from guys that have been there before. Jock Landau was a big loss in that regard because he is a guy that's going to tell people what's up, and he's going to be vocal, and he's been there before, and he's been through it. And I don't know if I'm bringing another guy, whether they need Dally at the back end of the squad, because you can go to every major tournament and there's going to be two or three guys that don't play. You already mentioned it. Dyson Daniels didn't play hardly at all. Chris Golding didn't play hardly at all. Jack White played in most games, but very limited minutes. So you're going to have guys at the back end. And I wonder if you're mixing and matching, you know you've got a bunch of guys that can play that 4-5, whether you say, you know what, this team does need that leader that's going to come in. He's been there before and he's going to keep guys accountable. He's going to tell them what's going on the floor, and he's going to see things through experience that he's been there before. So that would be my case with Dally. Now, I haven't got to the point of doing a final 12 and whether I can squeeze him in, but I wonder whether there is a role for Dally in that regard, even if he's not going to be there playing 20 minutes a night.
Yeah, Gorge mentioned it, and it didn't make the story, but it's not just the leadership and the sort of off-court stuff, and that's all well and good. It's also just like having a dog on the ball.
Yes.
So that guy who picks up 94 feet, and now Dyson Daniels, Josh Green, they do that, yeah, that element of the game in different ways. Dally does it in like a particularly sort of dogged way. And Gorge mentioned the championship series against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers and the intensity that Dally was playing with throughout the entirety of that. And we all saw the defense that he played on Milton Doyle, basically giving all of his effort and all of his might into just staying in front of this guy. And we can see the energy exertion from Dally. And so could the Boomers use a version of that? Like, they probably could. You can probably trust Dally on the floor in these games. This isn't just like you bring a young guy and like you're probably not going to play them against real teams. You can trust Dally on the floor against real teams. So I can understand it. When we go to the next step of who does he replace? Like, who is he in for? I don't know how to do that part of this equation. Yeah. But I think that, let's say last time around, that it was sort of a given that he wasn't going to make it. I don't think he should be going to this camp as a given that he's not going to make it. I think there should be a legitimate consideration that he could make this team.
And those are the kind of conversations that, you know, they clearly are having inside the camp, that they were in there and they saw it. And yeah, maybe it is a particular matchup where you're like, look, Dally, just give everything you got. We know that you're going to run yourself into the ground, play that full court defense. And let's be honest, his offense at times through the NBL season, but certainly through that championship series as well, he found a way when Melbourne's offense wasn't clicking against a Tasmania team. So you know, he couldn't have actually brought too much more in terms of performance as well. So I don't want to diminish that. He had a great NBL season. So it's not just for the leadership. Yeah. But, you know, I wonder if as this group changes over, whether that was something that was lacking a little bit, and maybe just the addition of Jock Landau helps with that. You mentioned Jack McVay, and come back to that if you've got a final point, but you mentioned Jack McVay there as well. And he's someone that we've discussed previously as well. And you were certainly in the camp that he can put his hand up and potentially push into the mix.
Yeah. So when we talk about, and this goes to your Delhi point too, when we talk about the sort of ancillary guys on this Boomers team, we always have to remember that, sure, they're coming from these situations where they're playing 30 plus minutes a night. But when they go into this environment, someone like Delhi, and we think of the energy that he exerts, especially on the defensive end, he'd be needed for maximum 10 minutes a night, right? And so this isn't you're bringing in Delhi and he's required to do X, Y, and Z. No, he's just required to do X for a limited amount of time. And so when you have guys who can fill roles and who are specialists, I think that that's potentially more conducive than just bringing the quote-unquote most talented guy.
Well, he's also ready to do that. Well, he's done that before. He's played that role. So, you know, to your point, there's some guys that perhaps that's an adjustment for. It's not an adjustment for him. He's going to be ready to go.
Totally. So someone like Delhi, who can potentially go in and fill that sort of like a defensive dog, pick up 94 feet sort of guy. I look at Jack McVay as a similar thing when it comes to this team needed shooting. And I know people always look at the guard spot for the shooting. But look at every Euro team. They've got that stretch four. They've got that stretch five. And Jack McVay is, I think, coming off an NBL season where he was probably the best local in the league. He finished as the Championship Series MVP. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the country, especially off the catch. And so the idea of adding someone like him potentially to the mix, I think, again, he's not going to get bulk post-ups. That's not what his role would be in a Boomers program. But the idea of having him as someone who can spread the floor, really space it, open it up for Giddy and for Dante and for Dyson and for Josh Green to do their thing in the paint, someone like that matters. And that would also be my argument for not just bringing Chris Golding, but playing Chris Golding, obviously, way more than he did at the World Cup, which is not hard to do because he barely played at the World Cup. But playing Chris Golding is important because just the ability to widen a floor for Giddy and Landau, for example, to do their thing is super important. It would be an argument. It's the reason why Vasiljevic is in this squad, because you need to have a consideration for the shooters that exist in Australian basketball and whether the fit makes more sense than just the quote-unquote more talented guy. It's probably only one of Golding and Vasiljevic, and as of now, it's probably Golding. As in, I think it's clearly Golding, and we'll see what happens at camp if everyone goes to camp. But I think there's room for that sort of skill set in a different position, and I think it makes some sense to have that at the four spot. And that's also an argument for Jack White, who's been shooting it well recently.
Yeah, positional shooting, I think, matters. I think it's a good point you make, because if you're just overloaded in a guard position, you're not going to play those guys necessarily together anyway. We've discussed the improved shooting of guys like Josh Green and certainly Dante Exum. Still low-volume guys, though, and they do just take open threes, and that's not a knock on them because not a lot of guys are able to make that improvement that they've already made, but it continues to be a development of whether they are shooters that is going to put fear into the defense. We talk about it all the time, and that's something that Chris Golding does. That's something that DJ Vasiljevic does. I probably agree just with the numbers crunch that I don't think both of those guys are getting there, but they've probably got to play. And the tough thing for DJ, who I would love to see in there, I was campaigning for him as the tournament was going on last year at the World Cup, because there was such a need to have a guy like that when the offense just went through stretches where it was really struggling, particularly in the half court. But Chris Golding just had such a great season. Yeah. And it's the best NBL season he's had in years. So if you
look at the best shooting season we've ever seen.
Well, exactly. And if you looked at the World Cup and you're like, okay, well, if you're not going to play Chris Golding, don't take him. Take another guy. But then he had that season. So there is more of a case than perhaps ever that he should not only go, but should be playing despite how long he's been around and the age and all those sorts of factors. So I think that's going to be fascinating, because experience is one thing. Chris Golding's been there, but Yeah, I just play him or take someone else. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know that's very simplistic and you have to see the different matchups and the teams that you're playing, but I don't think there's any question the team could use some real defense bending spacing on the floor. And that's where Jack McVay does come into that, because even if you look at some of the bigs, Stuart Briethe, I think, could stand to be more aggressive as a scorer when playing for the Boomers. We haven't necessarily seen that. We've absolutely seen that with the Portland Trailblazers. So does that translate? But then what kind of role is Stuart Briethe going to play if Jock Landale's back there? So I do think at that 4-5 position, some shooting would be nice. So I still personally think Joe Ingles has a big role to play. I thought it was a big adjustment for him last year. He said that as well, playing a different role. I think he'll be better for that. He's had a good NBA season. So I think that there is shooting there. It's kind of interesting how they're going to work through these lineups.
Yeah, and it's why that it's why we go into this. And as much as a 10th place finish at the World Cup is not impressive and was underwhelming, but like perhaps where this program is right now in its transition, I don't really see many changes to that team going into this one. I see maybe, obviously Landale coming in changes a lot. And I think people maybe underestimate that. I think it's maybe a change in role of certain guys. Like, for example, I know you spoke about Dante not being necessarily a volume guy from downtown, but he's someone who I can see coming into the starting lineup and being someone who can stretch the floor and who can be facilitate the sort of Aussie ball that Gorge wants to play, which is up-tempo. It's a fast-paced style of play. It's downhill. I think Giddy with Green and Exum on the wings is something that just makes a lot of sense. So I can see that happening. I can see a shift in roles. I think there's an argument, and I don't know if I'm going to do it today, that Chris Golden could start. Just purely because having a no-leave shooter on the floor is so valuable for someone like Giddy, who wants to come off on balls and go down, get downhill, and some of these guys who would love all this space to work with, but they don't have it because you can sag off some of the other dudes and on the weak side. I think someone like Chris Golden could actually be super valuable in a starting lineup. That's maybe a conversation for another day once we're a little bit further down the track. But yeah, there's really not going to be many changes to this, I don't think. I think there's just going to be some tweaks here and there, maybe one, maybe two, as far as like a fit and a need thing goes. But yeah, I don't really see this changing from the World Cup to the Olympics.
So there is for the most part, a pretty common theme with the guys that we do have in the squad, though. And there's outliers to that. Joe Ingles, I say, would be an outlier to the up-tempo, super athletic vibe that they're trying to bring to this squad. But nonetheless, I think that he's incredibly important. And I would say a big part of what you lost at the World Cup with Jock Landale not being there is Joe Ingles being able to play two-man basketball with Jock Landale, who we already know is an excellent roller to the basket. He'll get in transition. And I think Patty Mills playing with those two guys as well is going to be important for the offense for this team. They've just played together. They're so smart. Me and you are going to disagree up until the opening game of the Olympics about Patty Mills. I just think that he should still start for this team. I thought he was good at the World Cup. I thought offensively they needed him. I thought the team looked the best offensively or the most potent when Patty Mills was on the floor. Now, maybe to your point, if Chris Golden is playing, that changes a little bit. Because I just didn't find the offense in that World Cup against some really difficult opponents. I never felt like they looked like they were going to be a team that was going to outscore teams. They had to do it defensively with their size and athleticism. So I still think the older boys, I still think they have a massive role to play in this team. The other guy that maybe doesn't necessarily fit that dynamic is Nick Kay. He's been so damn good for this team for so long now, and he's always been the guy that everyone talks about being on the bubble, and I don't think it's necessarily the case. And you go back in the past, he would have been one of the first guys picked. We know that Gorge loves him. Do you, initially, as you look at it and you run through the numbers, where do you think Nick Kay sits? I don't think he had a great World Cup, but he wasn't alone.
He didn't have a great World Cup. And then maybe we have recency bias because he did have a great qualifying window against those two, against Korea and then against Indonesia. He's one who, again, he's always so solid, right? But the question is this program past a point where you keep solid and you maybe go for more talented, right? Or maybe go for a fit that's more conducive. For example, there were spots in the World Cup where Jack White was really effective. that first game against Finland, they did a really good job of basically shadowing Lauri Markkanen. Is maybe a specialist like that the sort of thing that you want to bring? Is the version of that Jack McVay, who can come in and be a gunner to a point? Is that where you want to put your third center potentially? I don't think Nick Kay is an effective five man when it comes to that level of basketball, World Cup and Olympic level of basketball. So if he's not going to be a four that fits your system, which he very well could be, but if he's not, and he's not going to be effective as a five, is that just where you put that five man? So that's an intriguing part of it. And Xavier Cooks would have been another consideration there. Even though I thought he did have largely a good World Cup, he also just signed with the Sydney Kings. And so I almost put him in the lock.
What are you saying? What are you insinuating there?
I'm not saying that there's like a pay for play, but I'm saying that it's probably more likely that Gorsch doesn't want to have 3 years with Xavier Cooks being resentful of him for not taking him to Paris. That's all I'm saying. It just makes all the sense in the world. This isn't, I don't have to be a mathematician to make 1 + 1 equal 2 there. And so that's why I put Cooks as a lock, and I don't see him as one of those potential guys who could be replaced. And then to your point earlier, I think it's important to mention the Boomers got through a lot of their cuts, and they got toward the end and they cut all their bigs early on. And so obviously no Ben Simmons in this team. He has had back surgery, whether he played anyway, I don't know. But Ben Simmons he's not a Boomer until he plays for the Boomers again. It's just the way that is. And then no Thon on this list either. No Thon Maker. And so Thon Maker was part of that squad last year. He was part of the initial cuts. They cut all their bigs early. So they cut Sam Frolling, Keanu Pinder, who are other guys who I think are very much on the fringe. I don't know where the room is for them, especially over someone like Magne, who's more specialized in what he does as like a roller and as a rim protector. But there's a good argument, like you said before, to make sure that you don't cut all your bigs early in the because of the assurance that you need, particularly that spot. The guards are sort of easily replaceable. We can talk about swapping guards in and out, and it doesn't change that much. Whereas you lose a big and all hell breaks loose, you've lost a significant piece of this, because especially if you're only planning to bring two of them, you've lost 50% of your bigs if one of them goes down. So I think that's maybe something this program will look at going forward, which is making sure that there are bigs in that squad further down the line.
Yeah, just off the top of my head as I'm going through, let's just say they cut from 22 to 16. So you're bringing four guys that weren't there at the World Cup. For me, obviously, Jock Landau, Daly already made the case for. And then for me, it's DJ Vasiljevic and Jack McVay. And I'm going to make it 17 because then I'm putting Will Magne in there. And I already said that I would have to have him as a late cut. So
Gorch said 17 or 18. So 17 is fine.
Okay, 17. So that would be my 17 off the top of my head. I've gone early with it. So including the World Cup 12, Jock Landau, Daly, Jack McVay, DJ Vasiljevic, and Will Magne. That would be my 17. Very, very initial thoughts, just as I look at it, and what makes sense for what group could potentially go to Paris.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. Just because of, again, those guys are so specialized, and you can plug and play them in those areas, and I think they bring something that the team lacked. The only thing then would be the idea of not bringing like a Furphy or a Rocco to a camp. I just think there's a ton of value in that. In the same way that there's value in bringing Giddy to the Tokyo camp back in 2020, 2021, like that stuff is super important. From what I understand, and I've got to confirm this, but there will be like a young group, a young team, or like some sort of squad that does get brought in that'll include some of Australia's best young players that'll come in and scrimmage and be part of the program. So they could potentially be part of that. But yeah, the idea of not bringing those guys is kind of weird to me. But again, the names you mentioned, who'd you mention? McVay, Vasiljevic, Magne. They all make sense to me as the gaps that the Boomers had and where you can see them filling them if other guys aren't up to it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing as well. As we say, as you get closer to the tournament, knock on wood, nothing goes wrong. But sometimes stuff happens, like it did last year as well. We know they've got some warm-up games there, so it gives you a chance to have some different looks. Of course, we do have a bunch of these guys that are going to be in NBA playoffs, maybe for a little while, maybe for a longer while, with Dante Exum, Josh Green, Dyson Daniels is going to be there, Patty Mills as well, and I don't know who else I'm missing there, but that's the bulk of the guys that are going to be there, Josh Giddey, of course. So some of these guys are going to be getting a potential opportunity to play some real basketball as you get closer, because the Olympics come around so quick. We know they're going to have some warm-ups, but the NBA finals wrap up around mid-June. Olympics basically getting underway a month later. So as it always does, it's going to come around quickly. And I think we learned last year, and the guys have said it themselves, the more basketball they can play, the better. So let's hope some of these teams, whether it's Orlando and Dallas and Oklahoma City Thunder, let's hope they go on nice runs and everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, and one thing Gorge mentioned was the reason why he's leading into this like Aussie ball philosophy, which is sort of like a simplified version of the way he wants to play basketball. So it's like the first action is always try to like push and get downhill, and then it's go to your like two side, three side stuff, and then if all else fails, you have your quote unquote scout stuff, which is getting into your real sets and whatnot. And the reason he wants to lean into that, he mentioned the fact that there's just not much time. You don't get enough time with these guys to really instill like really complex offenses and things like that. These aren't like the Euro team. Like he mentioned, and not all this made the story, but he mentioned Latvia, where these are guys who play with each other for an entire season. So they have a style of play that they can refine and they can become experts in going into a World Cup. So like they're all part of the same system. Whereas these guys in the Boomers are primarily NBA and NBL players, which is a faster pace than the rest of the world. And he sees these guys playing that style of play. That's where they excel. So he wants to try and mold the style of play of the Boomers around them. One thing he also mentioned was there's some talks, and this may or may not happen, but we remember going into Tokyo. There was a drop-in camp in Irvine in Southern California. And I thought that was just like a nice little opportunity for the guys in the NBA and whatever, just to go to LA and just get some sun and get some reps in and whatever. Gorge said that they were able to introduce a lot of their concepts during that time. Like the ability to get these guys together for 1 to 2 weeks in Irvine, just in the same gym, was invaluable for them because they could introduce so many concepts. They could really prep these guys and start building that culture. So the potential of something similar happening going into the Paris Olympics, potentially at Huntington Beach in California, potentially in Melbourne or Sydney, where there's like a drop-in style camp where guys can come in and they can get the ball rolling on this sort of stuff. And then the last thing, because a lot of it did make the story, because one editor once told me that it's important to know what quotes you don't put in the story. And I feel like I covered all my bases. But I asked if the selection of this squad had any corollary with the group that Australia got put in, which is Canada and then potentially a Spain or a Greece or a Slovenia. He said zero. He said, no, this is the group. I picked it for us. The style of our plays based group that we have here. So no other considerations were really taken into account when picking these guys.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, at the moment, just Canada, as you mentioned, and they're going to be playing in a largely NBA style because they're absolutely loaded with NBA players there as well. And those guys haven't played a lot together, as we know, because Canada traditionally hasn't had a lot of those NBA guys put their hand up to play. So we know it's going to be a pretty loaded group, though. That's for sure. We'll look forward to the next few weeks here and see how some of these Aussie guys go. We know a couple of those guys have headed overseas to play as well. So obviously it's going to come up pretty quickly, as we mentioned. I don't think this is going to be the last podcast we do regarding the Boomers. We'll have some more NBA content as well. I should also mention the WNBA draft Tuesday morning Australian time. You can catch that on ESPN. A number of Australian players looking to go in the first round. Some potential in the second round. Could be up to 4 or 5 Aussie girls drafted in that as well. And we'll, of course, chat Opals on the road to Paris as well. They got their 26 woman squad out there as well. So it's all starting to ramp up, Hulks. It's very exciting times, even though NBL's done. It doesn't stop.
NBL's done. NBL free agency is right around the corner, though. So I have remained busy. NBA postseason is coming up, so this doesn't stop. We roll right into the Olympics, and then before you know it, the Blitz, NBL Blitz is here. So, Kane, this doesn't stop. Don't make it seem like it does.
Where do people go for their basketball news, Olgan?
they go, firstly, they subscribe and press whatever bell button they can to this pod, just so you can get everything. Obviously,
we're going to need a little less hesitation next time when I throw to you for this one, mate. I know we don't normally do it, but we're going to need you to hit the ground running with some real momentum.
We're still in the 7 a.m.s, Kane. This is how we're dealing with this. But you're the podcast guy. I don't subscribe, rate, review, do all that jazz on your favorite podcast app.
Nice.
But also ESPN.com.au.
There we go.
Head there. Head to ESPN Australia's social pages. Head to our social pages. We've got you covered with the everything you need to know about Australian basketball, all the news, all the updates around the world and across every discipline. We got you covered.
Slow start, but you really came home with some momentum. Thanks, some real gusto there, Olga. That was very nice stuff. A tremendous promo. And that's going to do it for today's podcast. As you pointed to, Olga, let us know your thoughts when we put this podcast out on our socials. Who have you got in? Who are the potential inclusions that weren't there at the World Cup last year? We look forward to hearing from you all. We look forward to chatting next time on the ESPN Aussie Hoops Hour.
Real quickly. Don't press stop yet. Don't do it yet.
See what I asked you to do one promo and now you're just taking over the joint.
Well, no, let's see who actually stays and listens this long, because I have some breaking news, I think.
Yes.
I've got to confirm this, but it looks like Johnny Furphy is staying in school. I think Johnny Furphy is staying in Kansas for a sophomore season.
Yeah.
If that hasn't been announced somewhere, that's what I've just been told. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. But if people stay this long on the podcast to find it out, more power to them.
Yeah, it was certainly trending in that direction. It is interesting for the draft calculations now. That's not going to be in the mix, because we know that's a really conflicting time for some of those guys. Who knows? Maybe a bolter for the squad. But that's why, you know, if you're going to interrupt me trying to hit and record, there was some breaking news. That's why I appreciate you, Old Knowledge, the best in the business. This has been the ESPN Aussie Hoops Hour. We'll speak to you next time.
You can end the record.